This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Triple Bypass acknowledges that we broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging, and to any Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander people who are listening today. We acknowledge that this land was never ceded, no treaty was ever signed, and that it always was, and always will be, Aboriginal land.
You need surgery.
Bisexuality.
Bisexual.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexual.
Triple bypass.
Bisexual.
Bisexual.
Bisexuality.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexuality.
The best of both worlds.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass on Joy 94.9.
For this episode of Triple Bypass, we'll be joined by some wonderful Bi-Plus folks to chat about coming out in adulthood, what it can be like, what's helpful, and what's really not helpful. We'll also hear about why it's more important than ever to talk about bisexuality and why queers are so likely to be activists. I think we can think of a few reasons. I'm Amelia.
I'm Ruby. And I'm an activist.
We're here to bring you your weekly fix of Bi-Plus community goodness. Thanks to Bad Gays for an amazing show. Tonight we're going to be joined by Marina and Claire, who we'll meet in just 1 second. They're two wonderful humans with very different coming out stories. Marina is a cardigan-wearing public servant. Hello, Marina. Lovely to meet you. And also a proud member and treasurer of the Melbourne Bisexual Network and Bi-Plus Community of Melbourne.
Represent. Sorry.
Also organises events for Bi-Plus people who are 40 years and over.
That's right, Amelia. We've had some terrific events.
Oh, I'm so glad and can't wait to hear all about them. And we're also joined this evening by Claire. Hi, Claire.
Hello, everyone.
You might have recognised Claire's sultry voice from the Tomboy After Dark episode we did earlier in the year. Claire works in community development with LGBTIQ plus people. Goes by the alias DJ Bangers and Mash.
I certainly do.
And is a freshly minted bisexual. Again, something I can't wait to hear about this evening. This is a topic close to a lot of our hearts. If you want to get in contact with us this evening, you could do so, and we'd absolutely love to hear from you. If you have questions you'd like to ask our guests or experiences you'd like to share, you can get in touch by emailing onair at joy.org.au or texting 0427569. You can also find us on our socials, Facebook Triple Bypass on Joy, Triple Bypass on Instagram, or Twitter Triple Bypass, or email us anytime at triplebypass@joy.org.au.
Yay! And now it's time for the latest in Bi-Plus community news.
Dun, 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 dun.
Thank you. I had to do it for myself last week, and it just sounds a bit weird when I'm just beeping myself.
No, always got you beat, babe.
Our first news item is taken from the Rolling Stones, which finds a recent studies have found that 1 in 3 young adults in the United States identifies as on the bisexual spectrum, and 1 in 2 young people in the UK. These findings are consistent with numerous other studies that have shown that bisexuals are the largest population on the LGBTIQA+ community. But you wouldn't know that if you only paid attention to media representation, because both in fiction and in real life, it's surprisingly hard to find bisexual characters and celebrities. This is an issue that comes up both within the LGBTIQA+ community and outside of it. For some reason, for some bisexual people, society's unchallenged biphobia makes it easy to identify as straight, gay, or labelless. But openly claiming bisexuality as a sexual orientation is, this article argues, and I do too, more important than ever. The lack of bisexual representation in the media leads to a dangerous lack of awareness of the problems facing this community. In the last year, over a dozen studies have pointed to a bisexual health crisis. Bisexuals face elevated risks of violence and discrimination, often at higher rates than gay and lesbian peers. Biphobia in medical officers contributes to an environment where bisexual men have a higher risk of contracting HIV and STIs than either straight or gay men. Mental health issues, domestic violence and substance abuse are also all higher in the bisexual plus community. Considering these studies, the lack of bisexual-specific initiatives in government policies and LGBTIQA+ organisations is quite disconcerting. Preach! No national LGBTIQA+ organisation from the States has any bisexual-specific programming comparable to what they do for other marginalised groups. The work is typically limited to a fact sheet on bisexuality with no actual, tangible, active initiatives. Can add to that, Sarah Montanus, a fantastic actress... Oh, no, Sarah... The woman, she was in Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, yeah.
She's a bisexual advocate, and she actually donated $1 million to help a large LGBTI organisation develop bi-inclusive training.
Really?
And they did nothing with the money for over a year.
Oh, jeez.
So she took it back and gave it to another bi organisation. But she had to give it to a bi-specific org. So they had the money, they had the funding.
And they didn't move
on. And they
on
didn't
it.
Do anything with it. So it's not even that they don't have the money for it. Anyway,
yeah.
Rant over. So neither do any of the LGBTI organisations in the States have a staff position dedicated to responding to the needs of the bisexual community. And the national bisexual organisations that do exist are not receiving the funding needed to address the bisexual health crisis. The 40th annual LGBT fundraisers report, which tracks funding to LGBT organisations between 1970 and 2010, found that lesbian and gay organisations had received $487 million in funding, transgender organisations had received $16 million in funding, and bisexual organisations had received $84,000 in 40 years.
That's astonishing.
That's a problem. That's a problem.
And this was like, so I think...
$1,000 a year.
Yes.
Sorry.
No, it's... Feel the bi-fury flow through you.
I do.
Welcome.
I do. It's so true.
I feel like I'm like that Sith Lord. This week, I think the week of the article, which I think was published earlier this week or last week, the White House convened a bisexual community policy meeting with the intent to address some of these disparities.
Good.
The National LGBTQ Task Force has posted a search for a bisexual health intern, and several organisations are hosting the second annual Bisexual Awareness Week to amplify these issues. So this was back in September. These are small but necessary steps to address the needs of the bisexual community, but truly fixing the problems will be impossible if the bisexual community remains an invisible majority.
Facts.
Having individuals who are attracted to more than one gender proudly proclaim their bisexuality brings us out of obscurity. It erases the misconception that bisexuality is transitory, mythical, or sexually promiscuous. Coming bisexuality puts a face on a community that otherwise wouldn't be seen, and that's something we can't put off any longer.
I can feel the energy radiating across the studio from you, Ruby.
I could have written this exact thing.
I feel like I have written this. Not this specific one, but I feel like it's good to see that there are some things starting to happen in this space, especially in the US.
We just got a message in, actually, from Brad, who said, can you repeat that stat? 1 in 3 people are bisexual. So in the UK, 1 in 2 people are on the bisexual spectrum, which usually means they indicate that they're not purely heterosexual attraction. And in the US, it's 1 in 3, which would also, I think, suggest that there's a difference in the religious fever of those countries, which can also affect people being comfortable in admitting or proclaiming that they are not 100% heterosexual. But yeah, 1 in 3 are for the United States.
Yeah. Amazing. So we're a much bigger group than getting $1,000 a month, $1,000 a year, by the sounds of things, when everyone else is getting several hundreds of millions of dollars.
Buy a few flags.
Well, I feel like I'm sure we've talked about this before, but it comes down to that thing that people think that if they give money to lesbian and gay or queer organisations, it's a catch-all, and that will also capture people who are multigender attracted as well, and then other people feel like if you're in a straight passing, I use that purposefully, relationship, that will then your needs will also be met by money that is not allocated to LGBTIQ funds. So it's, but that's, we know that not to be true.
And single bisexuals don't exist.
They're on standby.
I think,
Mum.
All the bad puns. I think there's also that conception that because people often still really think of bisexuality in the terms of being a half gay, half straight entity,
totally.
Which means that it's only half as bad.
Yeah.
And that assumption and that kind of social narrative.
It's not half as bad.
The evidence says otherwise, but the evidence has said that for a while.
Mm.
So the social narrative really overwhelms the actual evidence, which we've seen in a lot of arguments across the world.
Mm.
But I think it is really interesting that sense of like, I won't. You know, you've made up your minds. So I'm not going to confuse you with the facts.
So the takeaway from that sounds as if it's more important than ever to actually own bisexuality and that it's political.
Yes, but I think as well that's keeping in mind if it's safe for you to do
totally.
And if that is something that, you know, and if you have safe places to go to for support, and if it's not going to bring harm to you or your loved ones, I think that's really important too, because you know, we can be out and proud bisexual people, but that's not going
not
to fit with people's culture, with their backgrounds and their families.
Totally.
So if you can, though, I think it's worth looking at why you don't and why it's worth reading a bit more about that and finding a label that fits for you, but also just realising that a multigender attracted identity is a label that is actually worth promoting if you want to
feel comfortable in that space.
So speaking of activism, lesbian, gay and bisexual people are 20 times more likely to be LGBT plus activists than straight cisgender people. An analysis of US survey data shows. Yeah, I'm not shocked by that. Are you shocked?
Not at all. It's a waste of time and money.
Yeah.
Is it just LGBTI activism that they're more involved in?
Yes. It would. Well, I'm sure other extracurriculars
or
as well.
Is it also environmental and things?
All of the activisms. So LGB people are also more likely to be, than their heterosexual peers, to be involved in environmental peace, Occupy Wall Street activist movements. This was data from the US looking at the survey data, looking at the election survey. So the study was published in the Journal of Social Science Research, analysed the American National Election Survey of 2012, so a little bit old.
That was when we had Obama.
We did have Obama back then.
Well, we didn't, but they did.
Someone had Obama. Mm. Obama was around. With data from 3,500 people, which is quite a good sample size. Of those, 4.5% of respondents identified as lesbian, gay or bisexual. Other sexual orientations or trans identities were not included in the survey. So we're just looking at LGB folks. The lead author from Arizona State University also looked at whether factors such as age, gender, race or education level played a role in whether queer people were involved as activists, and found that they didn't. What did impact the number of queer people engaged with social activism was their greater endorsement of liberal ideologies and egalitarian values, their recognition of racism, sexism and other inequalities, which are still present in the US, and being personally and emotionally embedded within the LGBT plus community. So the study's authors concluded that LGB people's involvement in the LGBT plus rights movement was driven by a sense of belongingness created by it, as well as the structural, organisational and interpersonal discrimination experienced by non-heterosexual people in the US and beyond. So LGB people were 2 to 4 times more likely than cis-het people to be active in the peace, environmentalism, Occupy Wall Street movements, and also higher participation by LGB people in the feminist and racial justice movements as well. I'm not shocked.
And lower participation, apparently, in anti-abortion movements.
Oh, really?
Mm. That's nice.
Oh, interesting.
So they weren't involved with those ones. Or the Tea Party.
Yeah. Oh, the Tea Party.
We had another text in from Sarah just saying that she wishes that they wish that they had some stats for the bi population in Australia and just LGBTIQ plus stats in general.
Oh, hard saying. We're all data nerds on this show, Sarah. We are doing as much campaigning for that inclusion as we can at a federal level.
But I think the Private Lives 3 study that came out had a much higher... Private Lives 4? Is it Private Lives 4?
4, I think we're
up to.
Or maybe it's...
I think it's 3.
Writing us in 3.
I think they kind of staggered the... Mm. Yeah. Point is, there are a lot more bisexual respondents this year.
Yes.
So the data from that will be nice and juicy. Claire?
I just wanted to say, so if I want to find a date, I have to go to a protest.
Yeah.
Is that what we're... Is that the take-home message from this article?
I think so. I've met lovers at protests before.
Okay, cool.
That or Aldi's decided selling ukuleles. So if you want to find a queer girl, there's a good chance you might find one in Aldi looking at a ukulele.
Mm. And some budget yogurt.
You really can get everything.
That has been your weekly dose of Bi Plus community news. Now here's Bisexual Anthem by Domo Wilson. So this song does have a language warning. It is quite cis normative and also a bit of a banger. So this is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9.
Bitches hating on me cause I'm confident in me. Better not forget the B and LGBT. And y'all like to say we selfish and y'all say we like to cheat. But I know they both at the same time. Haters have a seat. I like girls, oh my gosh, big booty, big tits. I like guys too though, super sexy, big dick. And if you hating on me, ho, then I'm down, big shit. And if you curious, I got you, baby girl, quick fix. How the fuck you date a guy when you're bi? You're a fake-ass dyke, I don't like you, I won't lie. You cannot date both, pick a side. Do you like fucking girls or do you like fucking guys? I like both. Pride, stand up, I'm like a girly little thing. Get my dude man up. Walk into the strip club and then I throw my bands up. And when he get me sloppy toppy, like to throw my hands up. If I wanna date a girl and we don't work out, then it's cool. Sexuality is fluid, it's okay to date a dude. If I date a fucking guy and we break up, it's okay to date a pretty girl, ain't no fake love. I like girls, I like guys. I like to eat the pussy, then again I like to ride. Yeah, I like kissing on girls and then I
bisexual bitch and I ain't got nothing to hide. Yeah, these bitches hating on me cause I'm confident in me. Better not forget the B and LGBT. And y'all like to say we selfish and y'all say we like to cheat. But I know they both at the same time. Haters have a seat. I like girls, oh my gosh, big booty, big tits. I like guys too, though, super sexy, big dick. And if you hating on me, ho, then I'm down, big shit. And if you curious, I got you, baby girl, quick fix. I met a cute little shorty way back in 08. I was really in denial, I was like, no way. I met a dude up in high school, I was so confused. How the fuck do I like girls? Then I started liking dudes. Then I realized, ain't no rules to this shit. Ain't a crime to like pussy, ain't a crime to like dick. Ain't a crime to be whoever, whenever, man, I'm sick.
I'm a bi girl, bitch, fly girl, bitch.
B-I to the S-E-X-U-A. It's a L if you hating on me, bitch, I slay. No, I am not gay and no, I am not straight. I'm the B in this bitch, pop pride all day.
I like girls, I like guys. I like to eat the pussy, then again, I like to ride. Yeah, I like kissing on girls and then I put the dick inside. I'm a sexual bitch and I ain't got nothing to hide.
Yeah, these bitches hating on me cause I'm confident in me. Better not forget the B and LGBT. And y'all like to say we selfish and y'all say we like to cheat. But I know they both at the same time. Haters have a sheet. I like girls, oh my gosh, big booty, big tits. I like guys too, though, super sexy, big dick. And if you hating on me, ho, then I'm down, big shit. And if you curious, I got you, baby girl, quick fix. Yeah, I'm bi, and I like them both, I got pride. Yeah, I'm bi, I'm bi, I'm the B in this, you know why.
You are tuned in to Triple Bypass, your weekly bisexual plus radio takeover. I'm Amelia.
I'm Ruby.
And we are joined this evening by some wonderful Bi Plus community members. We'll be focusing on personal stories this evening. So our stories of coming out as queer, as bisexual, and what it can be like coming out in adulthood. So we're joined by Marina. Good evening again, Marina.
Hi, Amelia. Lovely Hi. To be here.
Oh, so glad you could make it. And also Claire.
Hello.
Hello.
We've got a DJ and a public servant, and we're not going to tell you which one.
It's up to you to guess.
Yeah, we'll leave you to guess. A cardigan wearing. Public servant. That's such a mood.
Oh, yeah.
I love a good cardigan, though.
Oh, so do I. Apparently, we still need them, even though it's summer.
Rude. Melbourne. It's technically spring. Oh, no, it is summer.
It's summer.
It's December. I'm sorry, I forgot. It's December.
It's the third day of summer and it's 13 degrees.
That's Celsius. For anyone who's listening who is used to using the Fahrenheit system, it's not that cold, but it's chilly.
It's a bit nippy. If you have any questions for our guests or if you have anything that you want to share with us this evening, we would love for you to get in touch. You can email onair@joy.org.au or text 0427JOY949. That's 0427569949. So we were going to hear from Marina and Claire this evening about some of their more personal stories with coming out as bi. I think Marina was going to launch us off with, we were having a conversation, I think it was yesterday, about you came out originally as a lesbian, a queer woman, and then later came out as bi.
Yep.
Do you want to tell us a bit more about like what was going on for you there?
Sure. Well, I think my story of coming out as bisexual has been about 25 years in the making.
Oh, so anticipation.
Yeah. So I realised I was same-sex attracted in my late teens, and I sort of came out in my early 20s after leaving a relationship with a man. Mm. And I came out in the gay group at uni, which was just fantastic, and people there were very supportive.
Gorgeous.
But I soon realised that if you came out as bisexual and used that word, that you raised, you know, there were a few raised eyebrows and people sort of whispered, oh, they're a bit confused, or, oh, they'll come out as gay ultimately, or it's a phase. I mean, we all know this, these kind of myths.
We still hear that nonsense.
Yeah. And
a
I suppose...
A long phase, just a really long phase.
Well, yeah, very long phase. Anyway, I suppose I had what I call my devastating poster moment, which one day in the gay room, someone had put up a poster to advertise a rally and it had a gay liberation triangle divided into three segments, and at the top it said lesbian and the next one gay, then bi down the bottom. And one of my lesbian friends got a big black text out and crossed out the word bi.
No.
Yes. And I, from that moment, I thought, wow, she's just crossed me out of that triangle. Mm. And I was just horrified. I didn't know what to do. I was quite young. I didn't have the wherewithal, especially in a community that I wanted so much acceptance in. And I really wanted to belong with the lesbians. And I wanted to belong with the gays. Mm. So I kind of kept my bisexuality a secret because my desire to belong in the community was so strong.
Despite the, you know, actual literal bi erasure.
Yeah. And, I mean, during that time I had sex with men and women and finally partnered with a woman who I'm still with today, and we've been together for about 20 years. Gorgeous. And I adore her, and she's wonderful, and she's probably listening. of course, everyone sees us as lesbians.
Yeah.
Because we're in a long-term, quote, lesbian relationship, which, you know, on one hand is a fair enough assumption because that's what we look like, but, you know, I'm actually bisexual.
Yeah.
And
so it's a bisexual relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, basically, a couple of years ago, I hit 50 and midlife, you know, when you're in your 40s, 50s, it's a really big time of transition and reassessment and a big time of questioning, and a lot of those issues around my bisexuality came up again. And so I had my second coming out, which was coming out as bisexual. And it's very unlike the 90s. Mm. There's now the LGBTI community. We have B for bisexual. We have the internet, so there are online spaces. Yes, young folk, it once didn't exist. There are more organised communities, and at 52 I can confidently say it wasn't a phase.
Oh, Marina, I'm going to cry. That is beautiful. Thank you so much
for sharing
with us. I can't believe that I was going to use a rude word, but that person, like, was that the climate at the time around bisexuality in terms of people were that affronted by multigender attraction?
I think it was the era, 1990s was the era of queer when everyone was supposed to be all embracing.
Okay.
But there were still undercurrents of, you know, if you can't sleep with the enemy,
I think,
in the lesbian world.
Is that wave of feminism at that stage?
Yeah. So it's, I think if you, well, in it used to be called the you know, the gay society room. These days it's a queer room. So I think there has been a really big shift.
Okay.
But the era in which you come out, I think, determines a lot of how you come out and the barriers you face. So if you tried to come out in the 70s, it'll be different to if you tried to come out in the 60s versus the 80s versus now.
Mm.
And, yeah, I think some people carry some of those scars with them around the identity that they landed on and, how comfortable they are in themselves.
Yeah.
Before we jump on, I would say, like, that's really awful that it happened. But I definitely think that there's definitely that sentiment exists today in younger lesbian communities, for sure.
Yeah, I would support that when I was starting.
Not all, but yeah.
No, I would agree with you. Like, even at some women's events that I was at last year, there was someone who was saying that they were bisexual to a person who was a lesbian, and they were like, well, why are you in this space? This is a women's space. Like, if you date men, why are you here? And that was really shocking. And I live in a bit of a bubble. And so when that happens, you know, you get a bit like, in this day and age, it's 2019.
People are bi now.
Yeah, exactly. Get on board.
I saw that line in a TV show. So that was, I was like, oh, I got very excited by that. Someone's like, people can be bi. People are bi now. I'm like, we've always been bi.
We've been here the whole time.
Shocking review.
Claire, as a freshly minted bi, do you want to chat to us about what's been going on for you, my love?
Yeah, thank you for sharing your story, Marina. It's interesting that you mentioned you sort of came out as bisexual at 50 and I started that journey at 30. So we probably have very similar but different experiences.
Yeah.
When I was thinking about what I wanted to talk about in terms of my personal story, I just sort of the same thing kept coming to mind was like, what does it mean to come out as an adult? I feel like someone who is, you know, under the age of 25, they have less silos or groups that they share their life with. You know, as an adult, I have work friends, high school friends, family, queer friends, DJing. You know, there's so many different groups and facets to my life.
Yeah.
And therefore, the coming out became so much of a process. Like, it was about speaking to friends, getting my little card from the Melbourne Bisexual Network.
Your license.
Yeah, my license.
Certified queer enough.
Yeah, which was very important to me. That was I really treasured that, and I keep quite a few of them around just to remind myself that I am queer enough, and it doesn't matter what age, you know, I start to lean into my authenticity.
Amazing. That's beautiful, Claire. Thank you so much for sharing. I feel like so I'm in a relationship at the moment with a mask person, and being in a relationship with a guy, having then been in a relationship with women prior to that, like, it's interesting. I've really had to lean into more into my bisexuality, when previously I was really comfortable in queer. And I found myself, I think, being very aggressively bisexual for fear that people won't see my queerness walking down the street, because people are like, oh, what a lovely, lovely, like, man and woman couple who are not queer and very straight.
I think that's a really interesting point, because I know that when I've talked to some of my older gay friends, for them, the idea that having people not seeing your queerness being a bad thing is still kind of a... doesn't quite compute, because it's like, that sounds safe.
Yeah.
That sounds safer. And I think that's often to do with, and I've talked about this before a million times, excuse the soapboxing people, but...
Never.
The thing is, discrimination is not just about who's yelling at you on the street. It's about the stories that we tell ourselves when we're growing up, and it's about how we... the stories we get to see of ourselves, people we see like us who are being happy and supported and loved and having friends and achieving something with their lives. And I think we all grow up not getting that properly when you're queer.
Yeah.
No matter where you fall in the area under the rainbow.
Yeah.
Because there, of course, you know, there are trans folk who are straight, and there are intersex people who are straight and cis, and but still being able to see our own stories and or not seeing our stories is traumatic and harmful.
Yeah.
And we all experience that. And I think now that we've moved in, at least in Australia, in some areas of Australia, including in Melbourne, where we are able to, for the most part, walk around in the streets and not feel like there is a very good chance someone might chase us.
Yes. Yeah, we feel more safe than historically people have.
So we have to start unpacking all the other layers that have been going on.
So you're on Triple Bypass. We'll be back with our guest in a moment. Speaking of coming out and flying under the radar, Claire has picked a classic rock song for us this evening, Underneath the Radar by Underworld. Why'd you choose it, Claire?
Yeah. Well, this song was released the same year that I was born.
Oh, brilliant.
And I just really like it. I think it's rock and roll and radical.
It's so good. I was listening to it on the tram. You're on Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. This is Underneath the Radar by Underworld.
I'm Mara Wilson, former child actor, current writer, aspiring bicon, and you are listening to the show that puts the B in LGBTIQ. Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. Hi,
Thanks, Mara. That was Underneath the Radar by Underworld, and you are back on Triple Bypass, the show that puts the B in LGBTIQA+. We include a P for pansexual, a Q for queer and questioning, and an E for everybody else. We are not gatekeeping queers on this show. We are not about that nonsense.
Mm-mm.
I'm Amelia.
I'm Ruby.
And we're joined in the studio by Marina and Claire this evening. Hello, you two.
Hi.
Hi. Hello.
So we've been talking about our own coming out stories, and it's been such a beautiful time. I would love to hear from you if you want to share any of your own stories. We did receive a message on the break from Brad, who also added to the conversation a really great point. So the era, they said that the era you come out may also explain some of the things, some of your issues, but I think the era before you came out can explain more. So they came out in the 90s, but it's the horror of the 80s that probably formed much of their issues around being gay, they said.
And this came back from the conversation we were having before the break, which was around Marina's experience of, you know, think of being bi, but being in queer and in being in gay spaces, that were overtly hostile towards bisexuality, so totally. Kind of going under the radar.
Like yeah, did. We played that purposefully.
But then coming out again as bi in your 50s, and then Claire coming out in when you're turning 30. Now, if that sounds great, you've just tuned in, don't worry, this will be available as a podcast soon, in a week, probably.
Thanks, Spotify. Sorry.
No, I was going to thank Lou, the incredible human who podcasts for us.
Oh, snaps for Lou.
And yeah, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and
Podbean, which sounds very cute. I've never heard about Podbean. I want to get it just because it sounds so cute.
It sounds really nice.
So, yeah, if you want to get in touch with us, please do. Text in your stories, email us on air@joy.org.au or text 0427-569-949. We were chatting around, like, some of the reasons people may not choose to come out as well. I wonder if you folks had any insights into either why that may have been for you. Marina, you touched on that.
Sure.
You know, not being able to feel included potentially in some of the spaces that you really wanted to belong in.
Yeah. I think there are lots of reasons why people don't come out as bisexual till later life. Some of those reasons I think are the same as lesbian and gay people, homophobia, whether that's external directed at you or internal, stigma, family issues coming from a narrow family or a religious family, and also fear of abandonment, fear that your friends will
totally,
you know, leave you and that kind of thing. But I also think there are specific things for bisexuals, which a lot of us end up in either straight-facing or gay or lesbian-facing relationship. And within that, sometimes our bisexual identities are subsumed and they disappear under the identity of the relationship that you're in.
Seen.
And not your own identity. So if I'm out with my female partner at a barbecue, everyone will think we're lesbians, which, you know, on most days I don't want to rush around saying, hey, I'm actually bisexual. Because, yeah, it's obvious.
What?
It's
I'll return your Christmas present T-shirt then.
It's a really tricky one to navigate. But I think during midlife, It's a time that parallels adolescence, and I really like what Claire said, that it's really time in your, you know, well, for me, 40s and 50s, to lean into your authenticity, to step out of a closet. I think a lot of bisexual people find themselves, and this is putting it pretty bluntly, in a straight closet, a lesbian closet, or a gay closet.
It's a portable closet. We take it everywhere.
Yeah. Yes.
Bring the Allen key.
And that has a huge emotional toll. It's a real burden to be in a bisexual, a bisexual in a straight closet, or a lesbian or a gay closet.
Because they don't fit, right?
No. We don't fit. Fit, but it can feel really, really risky because by the time you hit midlife, you've got a partner, kids, a job, the stakes can be very high.
And potentially feeling that coming out is a risk to all of that life that you've built.
Yeah.
Do you think as well that there's a feeling, because I have seen these conversations play out quite a few times in some of the online spaces I'm in, as well as I think everyone here, with people who are, you know, in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and not sure if it's worth it or if they've missed their chance. I think that's a really big, this idea that you've missed the boat. What's the point now?
I went through a process of grief to grieve
the, you know, 10, 15 years of the Claire that I was living in a heterosexual, like, pursuing heterosexual relationships with people. And that can be a really tough thing to face.
Yeah.
That you've lost time, but there is more time.
Yeah. Especially in your 30s.
Oh, yeah. I've got heaps.
But I think especially at any time, especially exactly. with groups popping up now.
That's right. You're right, Ruby.
I was just going to say, the group that Marina has been running this, because this came about actually because, so all one of the Facebook groups we're in, someone had commented saying that if was there anyone in that group who was 40 or older, because they felt like that everyone here was very, very young. And all these comments started to pop up and pop up and pop up and pop up, and it's rolled out and rolled out and rolled out. And there was this roll call of all these people basically saying, yes, absolutely, yes. And then someone's like, we should do something. And then Marina did something.
Yeah, it was amazing. People started to say, yeah, I'm 40, yeah, I'm 45, yeah, I'm 50. So we organised our first get-together in Melbourne, and now we've kind of got a little friendly group called the Melbourne Bi Plus 40 Plus group.
Oh, my
plus, God. Plus, plus.
Oh, it's so plus sweet. And it's so good because we talk about all this stuff where you know, 40 plus, although we do have some people in their 30s who come along because they think we're terrific.
Yeah, well, you are terrific.
We've got kids, we've got jobs. You know, there are people from blended families, people whose partners knew before they came out, who didn't know, who are negotiating really difficult stuff around monogamy, non-monogamy, you know, how to stay together with their partner, all kinds of things. And it's such a safe, amazing space to discuss this stuff. And it's not, I mean, I love hanging out with younger bi people. I feel like I've got so much to learn, and but younger people are so great with the way they approach diversity these days. And, you know, I didn't know what cis or non-binary was a few years ago, and now I know. And, you
neither
know.
Neither did I.
No.
I was going to say, it took... You have to be able to be in the spaces where those languages
is being
where that language is being used to understand it. That it's a lexicon.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to study it and practice at home.
Like Duolingo. We should get a Duolingo for queers.
Oh my gosh.
I'm a genius. Right.
But there's also something really validating about being in a group where people are at the same life stage as you are in relation to their sexuality, and it's in this huge period of transition around midlife.
It's that relatability, right? You want to be able to be around people like you.
And hear people who have gone through similar things and know that you're not the only one.
Yeah.
And I think that was why it was really great to have two people on the show tonight as well, even than that, just keeping the duo things happening, because bye all the time.
Always. There are some reasons, though, I'm assuming, that people choose not to come out. Ruby talked about that briefly just before when we were doing the news, in that it may not be safe for them to do that. They may not necessarily feel like that's something that they want to do, depending on what stage of life or relationship or, you know, monogamy or polyamory status people are.
Yeah, definitely. I've been going to parties, queer parties, and DJing at queer parties for a really long time. And just to speak to, go back to a little bit about what you said about something that you heard at a queer party. If someone's internally questioning and they hear or see that, it reinforces that this isn't a safe space.
Yes.
That even the spaces that they're already existing in. And that can be a reason why people delay it or put it off, because they don't feel safe even within the community that they want to be a part of.
Yeah, or don't at all. And also sometimes, like, people may try to come out and have had a bad experience, and that's enough that for them, that's it. No, I'm just going to put a padlock on this. And, you know, coming out isn't the... I want to be really specific about this. Like, coming out isn't the be-all and end-all. Like, it's amazing to be able to live your authentic life, as you were saying, Claire, but for some people that's not actually what they want, and being out and proud isn't something that's A, safe for them, or B, what they're wanting to do. I'm very conscious of the fact that we're a panel this evening of non-binary and cis people, and in... like women and non-binary people, and that we don't have any cis men talking about their experiences this evening. And in some of the spaces online that we've seen, it's not as easy for some bisexual men to talk about their experiences, especially if they're in relationships with women.
Yeah.
Because a lot of stigma faces those groups.
Definitely.
It does. That's something we have touched on before, but it is like when we look at the data for coming out, we are going to quickly jump to another song. This one coming up is... well, Well, this is Triple Bypass, firstly. We've been talking with Marina and Claire about coming out as bi-plus in adulthood, so in later in life. We'll be back after this song, which is Euphoria by Doreen. I, for one, can't hear this. No, that's your line.
That was my line. So if anyone has seen Gender Euphoria, that's okay, darling. So this is the song that Marla Bird does their spectacular performance to with the glittery glasses. It's Euphoria by Doreen, iconic Eurovision tune. We'll be back in a tick on Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9.
Was that the cowboy?
Yes.
We had them on the show before.
Yes, they're very good. So this week on Joy, Sunday Arts Magazine is thrilled to welcome to the team the incredible Ali McGregor, the soprano, opera singer, actor, award-winning cabaret performer and former artistic director of the Adelaide Cabaret Festival, will be a regular contributor to the show. That's Sunday Arts Magazine, 3 to 5pm every Sunday. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Why can't this moment last forever? Tonight eternity's an open door. No, don't ever stop doing the things you do. Don't go, and every breath I take I'm breathing.
You're listening to Triple Bypass, home of Joy's bisexual agenda. That was Euphoria by Doreen, and that was just a cheeky little taste of what's to come at the end of the show. I'm Amelia.
I'm Ruby.
We've been joined this evening by Marina and Claire. We've been chatting about coming out and, I guess, a bit later in life. I say later in life, you know, 30 is not late in life, can
no,
I just
not
say?
At all.
But we've been chatting about what some of the...
Sorry, Marina.
Neither is 50.
No, I don't think so.
It's not later in life.
I didn't mean that. I'm sorry, Marina.
it's not later in life, but I feel I approached... Amelia and Ruby to say, like, what kind of resources do you have for me? Because everything I'm looking for is pitched to people who are at university, at high school, just leaving uni, that kind of thing. That's not me. I don't see myself in that.
Yeah, that, like, stereotypical, like, youth phase of self-discovery.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're discovering ourselves till the day we fall off the planet.
I'm discovered, doll.
You always knew what was going on there, Claire. You also brought up risk, both of you, and the risk of coming out and weighing that up. And we're having a really interesting conversation off air about that. And I feel like for sometimes the risk isn't worth it for some people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Sorry,
you go. Yeah, I was just thinking about cost, and there's a huge burden to being closeted. There's a huge cost, a huge emotional toll of not being authentic, not being yourself. But at the same time, there's also a cost of, especially in later life, coming out, what that the impact will be on your relationships, on your kids, and all the stuff that you get sorted by the time you're in midlife, and it's weighing up those two costs. And I suppose only individual people can really make that call. But what I do hear from people, which I find so joyous at our little get-togethers, is an enormous sense of relief when people come out. And there are a couple of people in the group who have come out as bi, and they don't necessarily want to do anything about it. They don't want to necessarily go and rush out and have sex or become polyamorous or whatever. Having the identity and having the community and having that affirmation and the knowledge in themselves and the knowledge to other people about who they are and the meaning of their sexuality is just so affirming and so validating. It's just so beautiful to watch.
They just want to be seen.
And when you talk about cost, it makes me think of capacity as well. Like some people don't have the capacity at the time.
Good point.
Until they have the capacity. You know, for me, I didn't stay in the suburbs where I grew up because it didn't fit with me. So I moved overseas. I moved interstate. I have the capacity now, living in an urban area and not living in a suburban area, to, you know, go to these parties and meet these people and have access to community. And that has built my capacity.
I think as well, it's, for me, it's seeing there's somewhere to go to.
Yeah.
So it's hard to come out when you're by yourself and when you don't see a space. And even in, you know, even in the LGBTIQA plus community, in the queer community, when you see that people like you aren't necessarily welcome. And I think that seeing that there's a space for you on the ledge makes it much easier to jump over, you know? It's, no one's going to try and, like, take a huge risk if, when they do, they're just going to get knocked back anyway, and they've come out and they've gone through that. Because I think people often can dismiss what it's like to come out as bi. There's a sense of it's no big deal. It's not, you're not like a, it's not nothing. And that mentality of it's nothing, it's nothing, it's not important, can get quite a, becomes an issue why people, we just tend to hold on to it. Even like, oh, I'm bi, it's no big deal.
That's right.
As opposed to, I'm bi and it's so good.
It's fantastic. Fantastic sometimes. Two for two. So what helped you both on your coming out journeys, I guess? Like, what did you find useful?
My therapist.
Great answer. Excellent. Always.
That's really good to hear. Therapists aren't always great about bisexuality, so I'm really glad to hear that.
Got a good one. I won't do a shout out right now because it's inappropriate. What I found really helpful, even though I didn't feel like I might have been able to speak to my close friends, but definitely my close friends were observing them and observing how they interact and how they act in the world, made it feel like a safe time for when I was ready. And it, for me, it wasn't like there was no cake, there was no party. Like, it was, I just sort of was and became.
We can arrange just, one for you. If
I was going to say, do you want cake? We love cake. Party?
Happy bye day to you.
I'm not going
to
say no.
Happy bye day to
you. We'll throw a party.
Okay. Happy bye day, dear everyone.
And as I started sort of discussing, like, with friends, people I'm dating and that kind of thing, nobody did make a big deal about it, but that was really helpful for me.
Cool.
To have my oldest friends just kind of go, cool, when can we meet her?
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Just let it, giving you the space to, you know, do your thing.
Meeting you at your level of excitement as well, I think,
Yeah.
So if you've been like, I'm bi, and they're like, oh, cool. That's not cool. But if you're like, bi, sweet.
Yeah.
Cool. Rad. Radical. I don't know why I've gone 90s.
Yeah, I'm concerned. Maybe it's a throwback to Marina's experience.
Let's go with that. So, Marina.
What about you, Marina? What did you find useful?
What did I find useful? I think the biggest thing I've noticed between the 90s and now is the emergence of online spaces.
Yeah, okay.
And also Melbourne's bisexual community. I think... I couldn't find a community when I first tried to come out. I mean, that could have just been my own lack of confidence, or never underestimate the lack of an internet.
But and the climate at the time.
Yeah. But now you just jump online and, you know, there's Meetup, there's a, you know, Bi-Plus Facebook of, Bi-Plus Community of Melbourne Facebook page. The most important thing for me is actually talking to people. And that's a bit of a trap with online spaces, because they're so good, they can provide you with personal stories and resources and so forth. But the trick for me is actually getting out of the house and going to groups.
Yeah.
And talking to people and taking a risk, leave the house, go and talk to other people, because there are other people like you out there coming from the straight direction, coming from the lesbian or gay direction. Mm-hmm. And the diversity is so beautiful.
Oh.
Yeah.
If folks who are coming out later in life or who are 40 plus were keen to come along to one of your meetups, Marina, do you have one coming up at all, or is there somewhere they can get more information?
Yes, we do have one coming up during the Melbourne's Midsummer Festival.
Amazing.
So we have a Melbourne Bi Plus 40 Plus get together, so I hope you've got your pens and pencils out. We are having it on Friday the 31st of January between 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. at a place called Collins Quarter at 86 Collins Street. And we have a Gmail address, which I will read out now.
Sure, that sounds
we
great.
We can also put it on Triple Bypasses.
Yeah, we'll put up all of the details on our Facebook page. I wrote that down by furiously as you were speaking, Marina, so we can share that with all our listeners. Claire's loving the Bi Fury.
That's 2 days before Pride March as well. And if you want to march with the Bi's at Pride, you can.
That's what I thought. We could all sort of meet and have a bit of a, you know,
make some signs.
But it's okay. If you want to just be in the crowd, that's okay too.
Totally.
Because that's the thing. Some people who come to our events, they go, no, I don't have a label, or I just do what I want to do. So there's a difference between also being bisexual in practice and having a bisexual identity. If you want to be bisexual in practice and just go out there and have sex with who you want to have sex with, as long as it's all consensual and fun, that's good. You can say, hey, I don't have a label, or you can call yourself straight if you want to.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
no,
individual.
It's very, very individual. There is that Kinsey scale at play.
What a beautiful evening this evening. We've been joined by Marina and Claire talking about coming out in adulthood and in later life. So we've almost wrapped up another episode of Triple Bypass. We'll be back again next Tuesday to bring you more of the Bi Plus agenda. If you know a friend who'd enjoy listening to us, let them know. That's what community is all about. Sharing is super cute. You can catch every episode of Triple Bypass as a podcast on iTunes, Spotify, and where all good podcasts are found.
Like Podbean. One day we'll find out what that mythical place is.
Sounds a bit sexy to me.
I want to flick it.
That's what I was thinking. Oh, you can also subscribe so you never miss this juicy Bi Plus content. We've had some really great chats this year, so have a listen back over the holidays and let us know what you think. We exist for you, dear listeners, so do send us some love if you love what we do. We're currently putting together a survey also for you to tell us what you want more of, what you love. So watch out for that on our socials, which are Instagram, Triple Bypass Joy, Facebook, Triple Bypass, and Twitter, Triple Bypass. You can also email me, Nat or Ruby, at any time at triplebypass@joy.org.au. We absolutely love hearing from you. Stay tuned. Coming up next is Soul Provider. Matt will soothe us into the evening with songs that take him back to his roots. Thank you both, Marina and Claire, so much for coming this evening.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me and us.
Yeah, thank you.
The royal us.
Absolutely our pleasure. Taking us out this evening is a 90s flashback and total banger, Absolutely Everybody by Vanessa Amorosi. I'm Amelia.
I'm Ruby.
And this has been another Bi Plus takeover from the team at Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9.
Have a great night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.